Good afternoon and welcome to everybody that's here today and as well as online. My name's Tom Benton. It's my honor to chair the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority this year. Call the meeting to order for April 18th, 2023. It is 11:30. And as part of our process, after calling the meeting to order, Clay will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Clay. All right, we do have an agenda in front of us. This is an agenda I think we can accomplish in the time frame allocated. So thank you for being succinct, everyone that's been part of the process and presenting the information for the commissioners to review in advance. If you all take a look at the agenda and let me know if there's any items that you wish to be pulled from the consent or anything else. Staff, let me ask you first, the agenda meets your expectations? Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Commissioners? Anything there?
One
of the comments Randall mentioned a little bit earlier is sometimes when we have items on the consent, if there's been additional bidding process of that, it's sometimes nice to know who is also bidding on these projects. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right, very good. So I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the agenda as presented.
So moved.
And move there, second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. We'll do a quick roll call for the agenda. Commissioner Marshall is traveling today, excused absence for her. All the other commissioners are here today. They're currently part of our board. So I'll do a quick roll call. Commissioner Velarde.
Here.
Commissioner Tuffley.
Here.
Commissioner Schrader.
Here.
Commissioner Wright.
Here.
And Chair is here as well. Okay. Let's do a quick recap for staff that they're here as well, if we could. Cameron, can you share with us who's here?
Yeah, in the room we have Director of Operations, Dylan Heberlein, Director of Finance, Travis Boyd, Director of Facilities, Ben Peck, Airport Security Coordinator, Jake Steele, and myself, Cameron Reese, Board Clerk.
Thank you, Cameron. A guest here today also, our professional advisors, Colin Bible from Garber & Company, Harrison Earl, I believe, is online. Yep. Our legal counsel, Dan Reimer, is also online. And in attendance today is Jen Bain. Jen, thank you for being here. She's with Mead & Hunt. Austin Rankin, nice to have you here. And Jeremy Lee, also from Mead & Hunt. Thank you here. We also have a guest from the GA here, Rob Hunter. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right. Commissioner comments today. We do have a fairly significant comment today. We have a recognition for Clay Tuffley for his years of service. His term does expire this month. Clay's had a number of roles with the board, been very influential, and provided a tremendous amount of guidance. So you two get a propeller,
oh, nice.
Like the pilots out there.
I like it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clay.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun, truthfully. Came on right there where things were just turning around for all of us. And Angela came on and just been a lot of fun. I think we've done a good job. Appreciate everybody that's been on the board and all the staff and all that you've done to help me figure this stuff out. So hopefully I'll get to stay on the finance committee and be around a little bit still. So I appreciate everybody.
Well, you know, Clay has done a number of things in the community around the airport by running the air show for a number of years, which is a tremendous community driver, community-focused event. So, and you're staying on to do that as well. So we appreciate that, Clay, and your continued service to this community in a number of ways. I do think that's the right size for Steve Wood's new Spirit aircraft.
So
you might want to buy one of his and put that on the front of the motor. And then you can take off for your next volunteer opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All right. Cameron, do we have any citizen comments, either mailed in or here in person?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have no citizen comments.
Okay, very good. Do you have a consent agenda, which includes the March 21st meeting minutes, authorization to fund our restriping out there on the runway, and runway rubber removal, as well as a Power Discretionary Aviation Grant Agreement, which was a kind of a coup. Congratulations to you guys for applying for that and getting support for an intern here at the airport. I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Staff reports, let's kick this off. Harrison, thank you again for being online. We'll turn it over to you.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. I hope you all can hear me okay. I'm in an airport, so apologize if there's some background noise, but please interrupt me as we go here. I've got a fairly short update to go through our activity report, so really want to start with things like you've seen before, our TSA passenger volume. We've seen over the last couple weeks that both our volumes, which are on the right, and our throughput per seat, which is kind of our pseudo load factor metric, have both picked up pretty strong. After a pretty weak February, and this is not surprising, we've seen capacity go up dramatically coming out of February, and particularly now into April. I think we're just really glad to see that it's actually paying off. People are using it. Flights are incredibly full. You can see on the left graph, which is a throughput per seat, that we were approaching about that 100% mark again here. This is about a week ago when we pulled this, but still very strong to be in the 90s up until that. So really glad to see that, particularly as our capacity picks up, which you see on the next slide, we're continuing to see an investment from United, especially in the market when they put those main lines in. So this graph looks at May, so looking ahead 1 month, we see, you know, United at a system level is down 3%, but in Grand Junction, they're up 41% on their scheduled seats. And that's, you know, worse pre-pandemic, and that's a factor of both all the main lines that are 37 as well as some of the larger regional jets. We see the base this year, and 900s come back in. American is basically flat, which is still substantially better than their system. Obviously, we like the United numbers a little bit better, but we're still happy to see American being consistent there. That's 3 each, Dallas and Phoenix. And the Allegiant number looks down, really is just a factor of the calendar. As the seasonal Mesa line comes off, it's really just a couple days difference here that's skewing that. Practically speaking, they're at more or less the same capacity levels. And then our next slide here really just talks through our highlights. Our highlights haven't changed much. You've seen this slide before. I think what has changed on here from last month is we were concerned American was keeping Phoenix at 2 frequencies a day out through the summer. They've now just isolated that to June. They're back to 3 in July. So we're seeing that capacity come back, which we're really happy about. Obviously, we like that connectivity in Phoenix as one of our primary links to the West. Otherwise, United stays at 5 out through the foreseeable future. The main lines stay in. We're seeing the CRJ 900s in as well. Last thing for my update is we've done this every couple of months, but really want to just kind of ground you on what we're seeing elsewhere around Western Colorado. And so I'm not going to go through this. There's a lot on here. But we're looking at the competitive airports. And I know I'm using codes for all this, so I'm happy to decode anything. But, you know, we're looking at Grand Junction, Aspen, Canyonlands, Moab, Durango, Eagle, Gunnison, Caden, Steamboat, and then Montrose. And I think what stands out to me is a couple of things. So we're not the fastest growing in terms of seat changes. That's both Caden and Eagle. That's what we've got. We're actually slightly down. But we're up in depart. We're up versus last year, which we're really happy about. And we still have a very respectable number of destinations and overall departures, which is, you know, obviously we like having a lot of seats in the market. We like being able to carry more passengers. But the fact that we're remaining well connected gives us strong connectivity, lots of itineraries. And we remain one of the only airports in Western Colorado with 3 and 3 year-round airlines at that, where we see a lot of the other markets kind of go for seasonal service. So that's really what I have for my update today. That's pretty short and sweet, but happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Question for Harrison. Harrison, do you know if the Southwest flights to Hayden and Montrose are a Denver connection or Houston?
Yeah.
Both?
So for Hayden, no, it's just Denver in the off season. In the winter, they've been doing some Dallas flying. I think at Hayden, I need to double check this. They ran a handful of weekend only nationals last season, but it really is just it's one a day Denver is what they're doing outside of ski season.
Has there has there been any discussion from them about getting enough pilots back to take a look at GJT for one of those new routes?
Yeah, I've had a good long time with some of the Southwest for the last month. I think what they're really looking at is 2024 is their growth year. At the earliest, they're not likely to launch any new cities whatsoever. And I think they have quite a list of new cities that they're looking at. So I would be shocked if we see any kind of interest before 2024, but I still think we're on the list. I'm just not sure we're at the top.
Is it possible to gauge their load factors going into Hayden and Montrose during the summertime? Will they share that data with you?
Yeah, we get it pretty delayed. So right now, the most current data I have is January. Load factor data is what we can see, and you know, this is a little indirect, but the fact is they've been doing the service for a couple of years now. They've never grown beyond one flight a day, which indicates they don't see there's a potential to be doing a whole lot more in the market. If they saw more potential, they'd be offering more service and trying to make it more profitable.
I noticed coming out of Denver this morning that the earliest you can get out of Denver with United is 9:45. It would seem like there might be an opportunity for them to run a flight over here at 7 a.m. in the morning and be able to fill that, or maybe even late, because the last flight of United was 6:18 last night, and I could have used one at 8:30 or 9 after missing a flight. So
I'm sorry you missed the flight, but it's been on our wish list with United, and that's really what that sixth daily flight would let us do when they come back from five. Obviously, pilot shortage challenges, we all know about those. The other challenge is the Denver hub really isn't running a bank until that 9 a.m. hour.
Oh.
And so that 7 a.m., you know, 8 a.m. flight, we think it would be phenomenal for the local market, but it probably wouldn't be a full flight. It probably wouldn't be a profitable flight until they bring in some more early connections in the market. They know very well what we want to see about, and you know, I think that constraint is one of the reasons why we have the main line right now, because at five they know we need more speeds, but they just don't have enough bands to kind of add that sixth frequency in and make it work for them.
Fair enough. Anything else for Harrison? Thank you for your report. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
And safe travels.
Thank you.
Okay, Travis, finance report.
Yes, sir. All right, board, thank you very much. Let's start with payments over $100,000. We have three up here. They're all related to the AAP projects we've going, primarily 72 and 76, and that's all the runway construction project. The checks were $2 million. The FAA is funding 1.97 of that. Largely FAA funding on that, on those checks. So I anticipate from this, we're gonna see a bounce in our accounts receivable, and then that'll be reimbursed from the FAA. So we'll see that accounts receivable cash balance kind of fluctuate. That's typical for our operations. For our March revenue, we're looking very strong. Most of our revenue line items are up. Rental cars have been kind of lagging in Q1. First couple of months in Q1, they've been kind of not meeting our budget expectations. Not by a lot, but that's projected to persist probably into Q2, I would guess. They have been making up ground, but they had a very sluggish January. Everything else looks very strong. Parking is killing it. Our restaurant revenue is well exceeding our expectations. So and our landing fees are up. So that's very positive. Let's look at our balance sheet statement of financial position. We do have an increase. We're looking at February here. In February, we had a really good jump in our cash position, which is to our benefit because all of our excess cash we can invest into college trust, which is yielding pretty well. short term, we can get some interest revenue. And overall, through the year, our interest revenue is performing very well, well in excess of what it was last year. Most of our cash balance was driven by the collection of AIP grants, so we brought out some of those grants, both on the operational and on the capital project side. With that, our current ratio relatively stayed the same, but our days of unrestricted cash on hand massively increased. So it's good, and again, that's really going to yield a lot more interest earning capability on those funds. Let's look at our revenue and expenses. Also good news. I like presenting the board with good news. it makes my job very easy. Our operating revenues are up. Our net operating expenses are down, which, green lights all around. Operating revenues, again, they're performing better than budget, primarily due to parking revenues, landing fees, and restaurant. We also did see a jump in our fuel tax revenue, and that was just through fuel sales here. Our operating expenses are down mostly due to cost savings in personnel on salaries for unfilled positions. And then we have some cost savings on contract services because of the AIP reimbursements through our professional services. I'm going to keep that short and sweet and leave some time for questions. But overall, our financial performance and our understanding is very strong.
Questions for Travis? Have we had a chance to chat with the rental car companies, Travis, to see what the deviation might have been? Were they short inventory or short people?
Ben and I met with the rental car folks, was it last month? A few weeks ago. Yeah, and they just reported kind of a softened demand. I don't know that it was necessarily a lack of cars here. They said it was kind of sluggish on the demand side. And I don't know that's all that unexpected, coming off the holidays, just saying, okay, I'm done traveling for a minute. So, I don't know. I'm glad to see that the trend is going up and they're recovering. I don't think it's going to be a persistent softening demand.
Well, when you see load factors pretty high, you kind of wonder why rental cars aren't kind of consistent. Are those native travelers? You don't need a car predominantly, or kind of what's happening in that traveler base, it would make a deviation from them. So it'd be good if there's, a 10 or 15% differential, if we know what they're thinking, because it used to be supply problem. They couldn't get enough cars.
Right.
So now we're wondering, it kind of makes you wonder if that's softened up and they have more supply.
Yeah, and another thing, and this is just conjecture, but another possibility is that, travelers have other options for transportation, not just renting a car.
Mm-hmm.
That may contribute some to that, but I don't know.
Did we start the ride share for people out? Is there now vehicles that you can go get in the parking?
Yes, Turo, yeah.
Turo, are they actively involved? Are passengers using their vehicles?
Yes, they are. Yeah. And, they contribute revenue to us on a per ride or per trip basis, but yes, they absolutely are participating in the market. There's going to be some competition with just traditional rental cars as well. And again, it's conjecture at this point. I haven't drilled down to see exactly what that variance consists of, but that softening demand could probably be, and it likely is multifactorial.
Be interesting to see if that begins to chew.
Mr. Chairman, if I'm...
Yes, go ahead, Harrison.
I was just going to jump in there really quickly. This is a February number, and we did see that, I'd say, kind of weaker employment in February. So those higher load factors were more recent.
Okay.
So, when I was looking at statistics, this didn't surprise me to see that down. I think if we see this continue in March and or there's something else going on.
Okay.
But just kind of want to point that out.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Harrison, for the timing differential there. Sure. Okay. It might be also be kind of fun, and when we're looking at interest income, to begin to track, you know, what rates they are per month. They begin to level out. You might be able to give us a, was it 4.7 in February and 4.9 in March and that kind of thing. So we have a little bit of a sense of where that's headed. So if we need to do something with maturities on there, maybe we can, or something of that nature.
I actually pulled a yield rate over the last 30 days. It's been, for the majority of our holdings, it's been right around 4.6, 4.9. It's creeping towards 4.7 in the prime product, and the plus, it's right around that 5% mark, 4.95. So, we're about, again, 30 to 40 basis points difference between those two products, and that hasn't significantly changed, and they're tracking pretty consistently. They also have, in the last 30 days, they haven't really moved much. They've about 8 basis points difference over that time frame, and it's all been up. Yeah, I think tracking that's something I certainly monitor and look at, but it's been hovering right around that 4.6% for quite some time.
Clay, do your contacts at the Fed tell us we get one more bump?
I think we're getting another bump. I don't have any contact at the Fed. So that would be unofficial.
Toughly unofficial estimate. We'll run with that. So.
You know, what's great, though, is that really CDs, can't get anything more for the most part than we'll get overnight. So it's a good time to have cash, liquid cash, available.
Yeah, our strategy right now is put a lot of liquid cash, all our liquidity in these investments. So it's very accessible. We don't run into a situation where we can't access it within 24 hours. So it's not going to hinder our operations.
Well, I think dealing with seven figures like you are in accounts receivable and you hustling the collection of those from the grant perspective, making sure we're not dropping the ball and submitting the documents, when you have a $4 million swing in AR, that means a lot in the way of it in today's time. Didn't used to, but does now. So nice job in keeping those current, you guys. But I know, Colin, you have a hand in that process as well. So
yeah, this is very much a team sport, team event. So, we are all working very, very diligently in getting that stuff completed and done and turned around quickly.
So I know we have to pay out first before we can collect. So timing is important. Okay.
Could you please remind me of the non-operating revenues? Is that like FBA grants and stuff like that?
You might share what all is in there, Travis.
So non-operating revenues and expenses, those are largely grant expenditures and capital improvement expenditures. We also, on the revenue side, we have things like PFC and CFC revenue streams, which are funds that the airlines remit to us when they sell tickets or the rental cars. There's additional fees that the rental car companies remit to us. And those are not operating revenues because they're restricted in what we can use them for. So like PFC funds are only for improvements within the terminal to improve passenger experience. The rental car, the CFC revenues are only used to improve kind of the rental car infrastructure. So that's largely what is in that category.
Thanks, Travis.
You bet.
Yes, sir.
So I had an operational question, but I wanted to ask it during finance. I remember there was a conversation about some drainage problems that were going on around Charlie Wood Alpha, and was it on our ramp or somebody else's ramp, and it's all banged up and just really a mess. I don't know whether or not we got that taken care of, or is that still, whose property is it? Is it a leaseholder problem or not?
Dylan's been working diligently, and Colin, both, and his team.
Old historic documents, sifting through, any headway on that, or?
Yeah, so the latest right now is basically just getting to the bottom of what the pipes actually do. We've already had a company on site once to first clean out the pipes, run a scope on it. We need to do it one more time, just so that way we have a clear picture of what exactly the anatomy of the piping is around there. And we expect to do that one more time on Monday. So it'll, it kind of puts the last pieces in the puzzle, if you will, from the historical mapping that we have from a stormwater perspective, and then some of those, you know, undocumented infrastructure that's there. So we're really wanting to, you know, kind of put a bow on this, and we hope to do that next week.
Right. The only reason I ask it during finance is everything's roses right now, and we're making money on our money, and you know, interest is coming in. And I thought, if there is still a bit of an argument, wouldn't it be a nice bit of goodwill to just make it nice over there? And it's like, hey, we're spreading around the you know, the how we're running the airport is working, and so let's make it work for everybody, kind of a thing. I don't know. It's just a thought I had while we were talking about the numbers going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's, and appreciate the commentary, Thaddeus. There's really a couple things just to sort out to be sure that the system, the airport system, doesn't impact them.
Right.
That's the main thing to figure out. And if it was something that we had put in years ago that failed, that changes the lens considerably.
Sure.
On how that goes forward. So I think you guys have had some teams out there that have done a nice job of figuring out exactly where those pipes went. It was a mystery before. I mean, there were some thoughts on kind of where it went. but they've done a really nice job of plotting that. And I think Dylan can probably next month show us a slide where those actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And then as part of the Charlie 1 Alpha work that's coming up, we can begin to show what the airport's doing as far as, okay, here's areas that need some attention. You know, we're going to go out and figure out what that attention needs to be.
Right.
And that's a cost savings to the tenants,
right,
by doing the engineering work on that.
And yeah, and I know that we need to be careful, and we have massive projects going, and cash management is absolutely essential. It was just a sideline thought, but
yeah. And there's some governance issues of what you can do with your source of monies with respect to public property and private property.
Right.
So we'll lean heavily on our guidance counselors here for what we can do with that. So, yeah, good recap. Kind of keep that front and center as we work with that, because our tenants in that area are key customers for us, and we need to do what's responsible from the airport's perspective, as well as within the guidelines of what we can do. Additional things there for anybody? Okay. Colin, you want to? Is that it, Travis?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Good enough. Thanks for minding the store, the financial store. Your assistant's still on maternity leave, will be for a couple months?
Yes, she is. She's, from what I understand, she's doing well. And she's, I haven't heard from her, so she's probably got her hands full with that baby.
Okay. You guys, on your reports, you might just brief the board on the positions that you sense are open and going to need to be filled personnel-wise. I know you've added a couple, gentlemen.
Yeah, so from operations standpoint, we're completely full up.
Okay.
We filled our final vacancy officially last week. That person's still going through the process, and then we are just now about to begin interviews for our internship position as well. So, as well as I know Travis will be on the administrative side as well. So that's where we stand, at least operationally.
Okay.
And we've backfilled our security position as well. So that was a really nice fit. So we're all systems go on the operational standpoint. So.
Yeah, and Paul echoed that with the admin side as well. We hired a office coordinator, so she will be starting the 24th,
right?
So we're super excited to have her on board and help out.
That's something in the finance committee we've talked about, is we kind of budget based upon a, I don't know if you'd call it a dream situation where everything's filled. We never seem to get there, and so that's something just for your information, is we've asked to kind of have a listing of what those vacant positions might be, so that when we budget, we have a better understanding of when it gets filled, why we're then finally getting to our personnel expense number.
Yeah.
And but it does seem, I mean, I guess it's just business in general, that you're always running 2-3 people short, if not more, trying to fill spots, but that is something we've talked about, so just so you know.
Yeah, be happy to provide that.
Yeah, I'll just kind of some updates from time to time on where our team is a little short or long.
And if we're actively pursuing something or not, because I think that helps
Right.
So we can help send people that direction.
And what you've done in the past, I think. So Ben, how's your group?
Excuse me. Facilities were 100% full. So happy to report that. I think the only real vacancy we have now is in our HR department, and that will probably be filled recruited for after Andrew gets back.
Okay.
Being one of her rep reports.
So that's Victoria's position?
Yeah.
Meantime, those duties are spread amongst the group up here.
I love it. Ben is absolutely doing the heavy lifting on that. He's doing a great job.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, I think you should be echoed that, and Avalon, since Angela's on leave, that it's kind of definitely been team sport, I think. Mm-hmm. It's definitely taken a team, but the airport is operational. As Ben would like to say, we're paying the bills, we're paying the staff, so everything is being taken care of. But
yeah,
a lot of that goes with Ben's efforts. And they've been very full days.
That's clear. It takes us all to make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do a little bit to help support finance with Sheila being out. Tori being out, there's a lot of different pieces. Travis is giving the benefit side of it, unfortunately.
Okay, good. Can we move on to your report?
Calm down.
All right.
So I think we're all aware of one of the primary goals of this. We're spicing this up today, by the way. Not just the matrix is in there, don't worry. We're all aware of a primary goal of keeping the runway open as much as possible. There are going to be times when we have to touch both the equipment and the runway itself as part of this project, and actually we have one of those underway right now. So the first one I want to show you, will you click one more time, please? Once more, actually. This is, some of the animations. So right now, hopefully you can see with the glare, there's a red X over that glide slope antenna on the left-hand side of the bottom image. So right now the glide slope's turned off. We're doing some of the earthwork in that area. That was an operation coordinated with the FAA starting last year. It's been in progress. We coordinated with the tower, the airlines, and all the tenants. We're on day 18 of it and haven't heard a peep from anybody. Seems to be going off without a hitch. Also, just as a little bit of a fun fact, anytime we're going to touch any of that stuff, we don't go into it lightly. We can pull and sort weather data and kind of time the time of year that makes the most sense. So, for example, with this closure, this impact causes that top of the X to go away. It changes it from 200.5 mile approaches to 400.5 to 403/4. If you're not pilots, you probably don't know what that impact is. And so we pull that data to see what that impact truly is. Over the last 10 years, it's been an average of 8 hours over that 2 months. So 8 hours of total impact. And if it's 5 minutes, it counts as an hour, the way they measure it. They take one reading an hour that you're boarding. So who knows, it might be 25 minutes or 30 minutes of total impact over that 2 month period. But we haven't heard any complaints from anybody so far. It's going off well. This will be the condition until the end of May and into the first week of June. At that point, the FAA will kind of flight check it and turn that glide slope back on. We'll be operational as normal.
So is this the two red dots and two white dots that are not active now as you come in, and it tells you your glide slope, the red and the whites, or what?
That's a PAPI, a glide slope. So an ILS is three pieces of equipment.
Okay.
There are, there are lights off of this end that basically give a visual aid for the pilots to land with. There's a glide slope that bounces a signal off the ground up at an angle that tells them what path to land on. And then off of this end, there's a localizer, and that tells them right or left to make sure that they're on target. So when they close this down, they have the right and left piece of equipment, and they have the light indicator. They just don't have the signal bouncing. So what that means is they still got help with their equipment. It's just a little bit different, it's a little bit less, but your weather's so good here that you really, this time of year, it's almost never needed. I mean, it's got to be a pretty extreme weather condition before it's a problem. So more into how the sausage is made than we'd probably normally dive in here, but
sure.
This is a short board meeting, so I'm going to fill it up to the top.
Well, the landing was smoother this morning, so maybe by having it turned off, that was, they had to fly by.
So that's gonna happen until around the first week of June. If you would click, we also have another impact this summer, so everyone's aware of the runway 422 work that happens. So that work happens at this intersection, and in order to do the work on the runway 422, we have to get into a critical area of the runway. So we're gonna displace that threshold by 1,300 feet. We are going to wait until this runway is back to normal before we make that switch to minimize impacts. But again, we've communicated this with the FAA, the attendants, the tower, the airlines. Everybody knows it's coming, and we're dialing in more specific timelines as we speak, but no sooner than those dates to communicate that to everybody.
That's an interesting time of year to shorten the runway now that we have full-size 73s coming in. Are we concerned at all about midday takeoff weight?
I don't think so. It's only for 20 days, is one thing I'd say. But next year, we're going to have a similar condition on this end that extends for multiple years when we switch to that as we build that new runway.
Right.
And so that's going to be kind of a semi-permanent condition in future years. We've communicated that to the airlines as well. So far, nobody's had any operational concerns they've raised their hands with. Now, we're going to keep asking them because we don't want to slip through the cracks, but we've sent it to all the station managers, we've sent it up the chain to the flight planning departments, and we haven't heard any pushback on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there'll be days when it's a problem, to be blunt about it, but I mean, it's hard for us to know if they don't communicate back and tell us it's a problem. I mean, at the end of the day, they get the control. There's some levers they can pull. They can take on less fuel. They can take on less passengers. I mean, there's some things they can do. And depending on where they're flying those larger aircraft to, they maybe don't need enough fuel that it's going to be an issue. So I don't know. I think we'll learn some of that when we get a little closer to the longer closure. But frankly, this could be a good opportunity to see, you know,
touch
in the short, in the short term.
Right now, they're only bringing the 73 in once a day, morning and evening, or is it right in the middle?
It's the first flight out in the morning and the last flight at night.
Right.
It's a remain overnight flight.
So then your temperatures are down anyway, and it's probably less of a problem. Okay.
I mean, FedEx is going to have 757s that they're flying in as well, but they're early morning typically.
Yeah.
Evening.
We've also made sure the PLM is advised as well, too, for firefighting season. So.
Oh, yeah.
What does the pilot physically see when it's closed?
When it's closed?
Yeah.
There will be new threshold, just like this end. It'll be mirrored down on this end, basically. So what the pilot will see is a new threshold that tells them if they're landing in this direction, where to land. If they're taking off in this direction, we move. There's what's called distance remaining settings. We change those to be the right distance because they don't now have this
full run out.
They stop short.
But there won't be construction equipment parked in the red area.
There will be.
Yeah.
Well,
so
there will be down like near this end.
Right.
But
okay.
We'll keep those zones clear. I mean,
right.
We've got it. This is high level. This isn't a detailed plan.
Yeah.
We've got very detailed plans that show where they can and can't go. So this is more intended more for just awareness in case anybody got a random phone call. You know where it was originating from, but. Again, though, this shouldn't catch anyone unawares. We've been really communicative, and we have quarterly GA meetings as well where we talk to the tenants about what's upcoming. Dylan facilitates those. So.
And I think just from a public information officer perspective, Angel should be back about this time, but Lindy has volunteered to assist should we need to have somebody that's familiar with press releases and stuff like that. So she's willing to share her talents along those lines, which are very strong. So
sweet.
We're good. So we don't have concrete barricades down there.
No concrete barricades. No barricades. Any questions about these runway impacts? I wanted to show a little different view than what we normally look at.
Thank you, Colin.
So back to normal. Nothing really to report here. We did. still waiting for grants. We're working through the bid process on the nav aids, the earthwork, and in the next few months as that information becomes more, comes together with time, and we'll be back to ask for approvals, but no action in the next month or so. Regarding the airfield landside projects, everything's moving forward. I've actually got on the next slide kind of a list of dates, but tentative. Only last thing, Bill, you have to go back, but Charlie One Alpha, we have held rebidding that until we get some clarity on this inspection that we were discussing earlier, to your point, that is. So I'll report back when we know more on that. Upcoming construction. This is a tentative schedule. I could see some of this changing and getting a little bit shorter as we talk this through with selected contractor, United. But the tentative date is to begin the blue, the runway 422 work as soon as we're done with the work on, in the glide slope area on the runway. And so the plan would be begin the milling on the runway in blue, use those millings for the employee parking lot, which is in green, once all that work's done and there's a place to park, move over to the terminal parking lot expansion. So it's a little bit of jockeying where people park and trying to use the materials from one phase on the next phase. But it's currently set up to be completely finished the blue, hop over the green, completely finish the green, hop over the red, completely finish the red.
And notification to GA tenants on 422 is started?
We have already started that. We'll continue to as we get updates. We've got constant contact that Dylan uses as well as those public meetings.
Okay. When you guys mill and then replace lots, do you mill it down so far that it feels like new asphalt when you're pouring it?
It's going to feel like new asphalt.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a 3-inch lift.
It's not like a recycled asphalt lot.
No. It's going to be, yeah. Well, so to be clear, this... So the runway is obviously new pavement. This is going to be new pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be employees, but this is for employee parking. So it's just, it's going to feel like a gravel parking lot. It's going to feel like this area does today.
Right.
Yeah. Additional items, Colin? Any more slides?
Just some sweet earthwork pictures.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. You can click. There's not much here. Just all the work that's being done out there. You can also look out the window and see it too. But it's an incredible amount. I don't know if you've been out to see it in person, but it looks way bigger when you're out.
Yeah, we landed midday Saturday, and I was on the left side of the plane, and it just goes on and on and on. And then there's
huge.
A whole mountain that's gone now.
Yeah,
like, it's just massive.
Yeah. Anything from your end?
You know, and we would welcome staff or the board members. We're happy to take you out there. Now's a great time. Austin and the team are really kind of at the point where over the summer, it's going to completely change shape. You're going to go from, you can see about half the runway right now, and by the end of the summer, you're going to be able to really be able to stand at one end and look all the way down to the other.
Wow.
It's amazing. We were just out with the team. We're meeting with some of the utilities, but we were out with the team looking at where we're moving. It's going fast, but you know, right now there's still what we were saying. You know, you used to be able to see the terminal from the perimeter road, and we've completely built that up. But you know, we'd love to start sharing it. We'd also, you know, if there's any questions, you know, people ask questions, what are we doing? We're happy to take you out there and kind of tell the story, because it's important as these big bills come in. We want to make sure everyone understands
right. The
scale.
I think Jeremy, to that point, the engineering mindsets and perhaps safety mindsets are, how long does that new material that you've cut from the hill and deposited on the new runway site need to settle or cure?
We have two different processes. So we have a water cure process that we do, which is we treat everything to above optimum moisture to try to get any pre-swell out of it, and we let it mellow for 48 hours. Before we then come back, reprocess it, re-moisture condition it, and compact it. And that's just kind of that's to help ensure against the swell potential of the soil itself. And then when we put gonna force the material out, the material below to consolidate. It's also gonna consolidate itself more. And that's a 6-month period. And so we have a settlement monitoring process that we'll start here later this summer, but it'll be survey tracking of specific sections of the runway to make sure that we're seeing that consolidation on a uniform level, but we'll also see it settle and slow down to almost zero. It's interesting, it's parabolic, so it actually, in some ways, never stops, but it gives control, which is what we're looking for.
And I think the soil science, for those of us who've lived in Western Colorado, remember the stretch of highway that CDOT put down just west of Parachute. And that was a pretty quick process when they milled some shale type, and it ultimately, over time, it became this. So the concern would be is the aging process needs to be sufficient to keep this from moving too much. And when you're spending $80 million.
They actually broke, if you looked at a typical section, there's actually 3 different ways that it prepares soil depending on where it is. If it's under the pavement section, like deep, it's one type. If it's out here in the shoulders, it's lesser prepared. And if it's at the very, you know, top 8 feet, is that right?
12 feet.
It's highly processed. And so each, you know, the more you process it, the more stability you can provide. And so it's kind of a outside in approach to, because I mean, if we fully processed all of the soil, it would be unaffordable. I mean, it's already an expensive project. It would be undoable. So I think they did a good job of working with their geotech to be strategic and try and balance that. The original estimates were up to 2 years to just let it naturally settle without trying to highly process it. And it became critical path in a hurry and kept us from being able to do the work we needed to do. But I think they did a good job of finding that balance.
What sort of percentage settlement do you think you'll achieve in this way?
I mean, we're trying to get about 99% of the settlement out.
Yeah.
What we're expecting in those 30-foot fills is 6 to 7 inches of movement, which doesn't seem like a lot, but if you're going down I-70, outside Parachute, you know, at 140 knots, it's 6 inches is unacceptable.
Absolutely. So yeah.
We're aiming for, we're aiming to get all that settlement essentially out before we ever get to a pavement section.
Yeah.
Our expectation is that we'll come in after the settlement and we'll make minor grading revisions, expecting to have to fill it a little bit, but we have to build up for the shoulders and the pavement.
What does it look like 6 months or 7 months from now when you core sample that? How frequent are the core samples over that to tell that you've achieved the settling that you need?
So we have 6 over about 4,000 feet monitoring points.
Okay.
That's for this package. We then are coming in and supplementing those with each additional phase. So when we build the taxiway, we have a similar frequency. So it's enough so that we can place them in the critical locations. And we've had the geotech out here. He comes out every, rides out every, what, 6-8 weeks?
Yeah.
And he's helping us identify, this is what I want to watch. So they may not be uniform, but we're going to pick critical settlement points to make sure we're seeing predictable motion.
I mean, that the geotech work would save us some money down the road in case there is some movement. Probably helps to be pretty thorough in this when we do the sampling process.
It gives us an opportunity to use the material here. I mean, that's our goal. We don't want to make this any more expensive. We're trying to economically use the materials that are available to us.
Okay. Thanks for the pictures. The gophers and groundhogs and that kind of thing had to relocate, didn't they? They weren't there before, though.
They just were never
there. They weren't there. They were never there. Yeah, right.
There's no water.
Spotted ferret.
Yeah.
The
cat. Okay. All right. Dan, you still with us? Dan Reimer?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. Any updates from your chair? And also maybe we might mention, I think May looks like a relatively similar type of agenda for us. We'll probably have, of course, Randall's relatively new, but he's been here a little bit, but a couple of new commissioners here in May, and we may want to take a little bit of opportunity just to talk about Airport Authority Act and governance kinds of things that this group does for, if we have time, next month.
Absolutely.
things from your chair today. Looks like the bill passed, revisions to the Airport Authority Act.
Correct. The bill has passed and been signed by the governor. It will take effect, the bill being the update to the Colorado Public Airport Authority Act, which we've talked about several times before. It has some distinct advantages for us in terms of clarifying some things and providing a little bit greater flexibility. We will have to make some corresponding changes to the bylaws, to the procurement policy. We can do that over the next couple months. Bill technically takes effect 90 days after the end of the legislative session, so during the summer, the bill will technically take effect. We know it is happening, so we can initiate those things now that we know we will need to do in order to comply, conform, and take advantage of some of the things that the bill offers.
Very good. Anything else cooking at the state level we see, or national level, we need to be aware of?
No, just a reminder that FAA reauthorization continues to be a hot topic in Washington, D.C. I think it's anybody's guess as to whether or not it's going to happen before the end of the fiscal year. A lot of ideas being bandied about. My own guess, if I were a betting man, would be to predict that it will not happen before the end of the fiscal year and that we will see some kind of an extension of the current FAA authorization that technically expires at the end of September. So pretty good history on my side that has happened several times before. And so I think feels pretty unlikely that Congress will be able to get its act together over the summer and fall.
Similar to addressing the debt ceiling requirements, perhaps. So maybe that's a little more important to them at the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like, I never like to talk politics, but in a public forum, but I think Congress is quite adept at kicking cans down the road. And again, that's something they've done historically with FAA reauthorization. Transportation, as you all know, is supposed to be a bipartisan matter, but there are really some thorny issues about how do we modernize and reform the air traffic function at the FAA, how do we advance safety, how do we fix the NOTAM problem that happens, and so while there is high ambition, a lot of details to get worked out.
And of course, in those cases, you've got expert testimony coming in from CDOT Aeronautic and Airport Operators Association, etc., as needed, I would imagine, and if there is something that pertains to our board, you'll let us know.
Absolutely. Colorado is very well represented. Senator Hickenlooper is part of the relevant committee. We have a very strong group, obviously, again, at the forefront of that, but I am pretty active in our trade associations, which are at the vanguard of these lobbying efforts, and pay careful attention and monitor what's happening. And obviously, if there are developments or we want to get our points across, a lot of different opportunities to do that.
Okay. Anything for Dan this evening, afternoon?
Dan, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate your guidance on exec and here at the board. I've enjoyed working with you, so thank you.
Thank you, Clay. Thanks. I am not in a position to congratulate you and thank you for your good work, but I know personally your leadership and guidance have really helped the Airport Authority. So you will be sorely missed, and appreciate everything you've done for the organization.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Looks like we're just about wrapped up. Unless there's any other business that needs to come before the board, you need to be aware of. All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody, for your attendance. Opportunity to review the information, and then we'll give you kind of a heads up about a week or so before on May on how that looks. For our May meetings, everybody's attendance still looks pretty good, just in case there's a grant award or something that comes out.
Should be.
Okay. All right. Motion to adjourn.
All right. I make motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Have a great week, everybody.